Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
6:14 now already. As we approach the end of June rapidly on this June 25th, we're at about 80-something degrees, and we're going to go up to 93 today, then 94, 93. Yesterday, we got a brief respite because if you were out yesterday afternoon, the clouds that were around all day kind of kept the temperature from getting that bad, that miserable. It was still hot, but we'll see what happens today. Boy, I'm going to tell you what, they got a big old mess over at Broad and Tulane because they think now a lady that tried over 100 cases as a public defender may not even have been a lawyer. Dane Cialino, our friend, joins us now to talk about it, a professor of law at Loyola. Morning, Dane.
Morning, Tommy. A mess indeed.
Ooh-wee. This is worse than a Rubik's Cube. This is like a Rubik's Cube wrapped in a spider web, right?
Well, they're going to be sorting this one out for years to come, that's for sure.
Explain to people, if you will, Dane, what happened or what they think happened.
Well, what it looks like happened is that a woman graduated from law school, went to work at the public defender's office, and either never took the bar exam or took the bar exam and never passed. But however she got there, she is not a member of the Louisiana State Bar Association. She does not have a license to practice law, which means she's been engaged in the unauthorized practice of law over there at Tulane Broad for all of this time. And every case she's worked on is going to be dissected like an autopsy. To see whether or not she provided ineffective assistance of counsel. And if in any of those cases she has, they're going to be subject perhaps to having to do a do-over.
That is, to me, such a subjective thing. How in the world do you even determine that? That could go to conversation she had with clients, right, off the record, personal privilege communication where she steered them one way or the other, if it's a plea arrangement. Maybe she should have objected to this. You'd have to go through all of these transcripts, right? And then even if she had objected to whatever it was that happened in court, the judge may or may not have sustained it. So I don't even know how you begin to sort this out.
Yeah, I mean, they're pretty well-established standards for dealing with ineffective assistance claims like this. And oddly enough, I mean, although I'm not aware of this happening at Tulane and Broad in particular or Louisiana in general, it has certainly happened elsewhere in the country, and you would think that, or at least many defendants have argued that they should automatically get a new trial because their lawyer wasn't a lawyer, mm-hmm. But the case law is pretty clear on this. You have to look at each one of these matters on a case-by-case basis, look at everything she did to determine whether or not the advice was below the applicable standards, and even if it was below the applicable standards, unless it caused her material prejudice, it really harmed her case, she's not going to get, I mean, these clients are not going to get new trials. There was a case out of Texas where a lawyer slept through much of the trial, and the court found no ineffective assistance, not because what the lawyer did was acceptable, but because the client's case was so bad that even if the lawyer had been awake, he couldn't have done anything to improve it. So that prejudice prong of this analysis is what sinks most ineffective assistance claims in general, and I'm sure that'll be the case here.
So he was more affected than if he had been awake, because he only would have caused damage had he been awake, right?
Well, that particular case was so bad and the evidence of guilt so overwhelming that even if he had been awake, it wouldn't have made a difference. And that's the prejudice analysis that's going to be done in all of these cases. I mean, the vast majority of these cases that this woman handled were DOA. There was nothing you could do with them to make them any better. And if that's true, even though she wasn't a lawyer when she was pretending to be one, these cases aren't going to be reversed.
At some point in the procedure, I don't know what happens at the public defender's office, I don't know what happens with a client, but at some point, shouldn't the question, are you a lawyer? Are you a licensed lawyer? Did you pass the bar, et cetera? Shouldn't these questions be asked at some point by somebody?
Oh, it's inexcusable that they weren't asked. I mean, they should have been asked the first day of work, right there when they're checking all the employment documents like passports and driver's licenses and voter registration cards. They should say, let's see your law license. After all, you can't practice law without a license. So that's the first thing the public defender's office should have asked her for. So now instead of going through employment checks, she's going to be going through probably a grand jury proceeding. Leon Canizero has opened up a criminal investigation into this woman's conduct, and it is a felony in Louisiana to engage in the unauthorized practice of law. So she not only faces losing her job, but she faces jail time like so many of her past clients.
This may be a dumb question, but do we even know she's Ashley Crawford?
She's actually what?
Ashley Crawford, who she pretends herself to be.
Yeah, well, who knows? I mean, I'm sure that the background check on her now is going to be extensive. It just should have taken place before she started work instead of now.
All right, we're going to pick it up here when we come back. Nane, the first thing I thought of, and I'm not trying to be funny, is are you a lawyer? No, but I did stay at a Holiday Inn Express last night. It's not funny, but it's the first thing I thought of. 6:20 more when we come back. Right now, time for traffic, WWL. 6:24, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking with our friend Dane Cialino, a professor of law at Loyola, about this story that broke yesterday about Ashley Crawford. And again, I'll say, if in fact that's who it is, practicing law without a license as a public defender in over 100 cases. Dane, they say she clerked at a couple of different stories. One of them says she clerked for Piper Griffin, who I believe is a civil law judge, and then she clerked for somebody in Jefferson Parish as well. So it's not enough to graduate from law school, and I'm not trying to be dumb here, because I thought, like, if you choose to be your own attorney, you have the right to do that, right? Although sometimes a judge will appoint an attorney to kind of help you with procedure and those kind of things. So you're not a lawyer if you're representing yourself. If I choose to have my boss, Diane Newman, very smart, if I said, you know what, I don't want a lawyer, I want Diane to represent me. Could I do that or not? Or would that be my choice? That's what drives all of that.
Yeah, there's no way that could happen because she's not a lawyer. And there is a statute in Louisiana like there is in every state that practices law without a license. And how you get the license is differs a little bit from state to state. But by and large, everyone's got to take a multi-day bar examination, go through a fairly rigorous character and fitness evaluation, where they do in-depth background checks into convictions, employment histories, credit histories, those sorts of things. And then only after all that's done do you get your law license. And, of course, you have to go to law school in most states except for California for 3 years. So it's a lot to go through to get to that law license. And Diane has not done that, so she could not be your lawyer.
But she is a very smart lady. I want to get that on the record, if I may, counselor. So how in the world does somebody clerk for a judge? And, I mean, here's my question, Dane, I guess, is if this happened in this case, how do we know there aren't others out there? Because I always find it hard to believe when something like this happens that we caught the one time that this happened.
Well, I mean, it's happened before, not necessarily that, at least that I'm aware of in Orleans Parish, but it's happened elsewhere. I mean, there have been some high-profile cases reported in the national press about lawyers working for some of the largest, most prestigious Wall Street firms in New York who didn't even go to law school. Somehow they ginned up resumes and fake transcripts and got themselves hired at prestigious law firms. And some have even gone on to practice for years successfully before they were found out. So, again, it doesn't happen very often, but this is just certainly not unprecedented.
So I guess what I was asking, though, specifically as far as the public defender's office, because it would seem as though things were a little loose over there and lax, so if it could happen with her, do you think there could be other shoes to fall as it relates to people practicing law without a license, or is this just an anomaly that rarely happens?
Well, I think it's an anomaly that rarely happens, but you could bet that the public defender's office by now has already gone to the Louisiana State Bar Association or Attorney Disciplinary Board websites and run everyone's name. It's very easy to tell. In fact, anybody, if any of your listeners want to make sure that their lawyer is actually admitted and not suspended or disbarred, you could go to the Louisiana Attorney Disciplinary Board or Louisiana State Bar Association website and put their name in the search bar, and it'll tell you their present status. Not hard to do.
While we're talking about this, is this a misconception, or is it true that you don't have to be a lawyer to be a judge?
Well, it depends on the kind of judge you'd like to be. I mean, in Louisiana, you can't be a district court judge or a Supreme Court justice or an appellate court judge without a law license and some practice experience. But you can be a justice of the peace, and in some city courts, you can serve without having a law license.
So whenever a Supreme Court opening comes up, we hear different people say you don't even have to be a lawyer to sit on the Supreme Court. Is that just bull, or is that
true? That is true. In the United States Supreme Court doesn't require that. I mean, the requirements for that sort of judgeship are set forth in the U.S. Constitution. You don't have to be a law graduate to be any sort of federal judge. And, at the time of the founding of the Republic, there were probably judges and justices who didn't have a whole lot of law experience. But nowadays, that just doesn't happen.
Yeah, that couldn't happen practically. But theoretically, if you defend somebody as a public defender, you have to be a lawyer. But if you're one of the highest judges in the land, you don't have to be. That's kind of ironic, isn't it?
It is. In theory, that's true.
Anything we're missing, Dane, you want to add?
No, it's just going to be interesting and sad to watch all of this get unwound over Tulane and Broad over the course of, unfortunately, years to come.
Thank you, Dane. I appreciate your time. You're always there. Hope you have a great day. Dane Cialino, professor of law at Loyola. And, man, I'm going to tell you what, that's hard to believe that she could just pass herself off allegedly as a lawyer. And apparently she did go to law school, but she didn't pass the bar and she wasn't licensed. I don't even know if she took the bar exam. So you wonder how that could happen and what other kind of, it goes back to my old thing about nobody's watching anything. When you're a kid, you think that when you get up and get in the grown-up world, that things like this can't happen because people are watching stuff, right? As opposed to the things you screw up as a kid, then you realize, seems like most cases ain't nobody watching nothing. We're going to take a break, come back, and talk about President Trump's immigration raids. Right now, though, we pause for WWL First News with Chris Miller.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.